This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm back with Dave, and we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder, and obviously the upcoming game against the Clippers. The last game against the Warriors was really one to forget, so we're looking forward to, you know, the game against the Clippers. You know, I say it's a game to forget, but the truth is, when you have a chance to play a team like the Warriors, you know, even when you get beat pretty good, you can still learn a lot. So, in the end, you know, for us, what I really think the takeaway from this game is, from this last game, is that we can fight, we can go out there and compete, but in the end, if you're not defending the three-point line for four quarters, then you're going to have trouble winning against a team like the Warriors.
Mark, this is the modern NBA, so you're going to have a team, or if you can't stop a team from shooting three-pointers and making them, you're not going to win a lot of games. That's just the way it's going to be. Any team that you allow to shoot as many three-pointers and hit as many three-pointers as the Warriors did is going to probably beat us. They shot 21 for 50-something for three-pointers. 21 three-pointers is 63 points. I mean, that's insane. Like, having half of your points come from three-point range is truly crazy. So I understand that, like, people are going to be harsh on it. I understand people are going to be down on it. But the reality is that not every team is going to be able to do that in the NBA against us. So knowing that going into the game, knowing that is one of our weaknesses, the three-point shot, on playing defense on that, is nice to know. Now, I'm not saying that it's a blaring issue that we're having, because we've only had issues against the Golden State Warriors. But the reality is it's something that we need to keep an eye on to see what's going to happen. I want to throw a big shout out right now to Josh Giddey. He is ranked 24th in assist in the league right now. He is averaging 5.7 assists a game. After rewatching this last game that they just played, I just got excited about the way he's passing the ball. Here's the thing. He had like 6 assists or 8 assists, whatever he had. But he had at least 9 passes that were semi-easy to easy shots that people missed. That's what's crazy, is when people start hitting and they get used to the way the ball's coming off of Josh's hands, this is going to be insane. These guys are going to start hitting more and more shots, and we're going to start seeing Josh Giddey getting that teens and assists and even higher than that. But right now, Devin Booker is only beating Josh by 2 assists right now, and Josh is also beating Spencer Dinwiddie, Jimmy Butler, Joka, Kevin Durant, Cole Anthony, Donovan Mitchell. I mean, you could go down the list of people that Giddey is outpassing right now in assists. So I'm really excited. I know that we talk a lot about Giddey, but it's hard not to. And I'm kind of giddy about Giddey.
Yeah, man. Everybody's getting all hard for Giddey. That's for damn sure. So no surprise that, you know, you are too. But hey, look, here's the thing. You don't get to see a player like this come around very often. You know, we've been watching the league for quite a while, and, you know, to have somebody who, first of all, is, you know, this unknown is pretty exciting. You know, you can't really say that this type of stuff happens, you know, every day. And then on top of that, every time we go out there and we see him play, we learn something else about his game. And recently, to me, the most important thing I've been learning is how much he really needs the ball in his hands. And that's what's awesome. You love seeing a player who can go out there and fight like crazy and compete. But some guys just, they want to be spot-up shooters. They want to attack on the weak side. But here's the problem. Because he's so ball dominant and he's so good in the attack mode, I really believe it's taking the ball out of SGA's hands more than what we really want it to be. So I think Coach Daigneault is finding ways to stagger the lineups. So, you know, SGA's out there with the first team more, and then maybe Giddey out there with the second team, or vice versa. Find ways to give them each opportunities to go out there and do their own thing. But, you know, right now, the way that Giddey is playing, it's hard for people not to just kind of stop and watch him go. And that's going to be a problem if it happens to SGA. How can we get them to work together? Well, that's Coach Daigneault's thing to do, and he's going to do a great job at it. So I'm not worried about it, but to me, I think that's part of the problem, is that they're just figuring out how to play together. And sometimes it can make for moments where it's like, yeah, that wasn't the most easy to watch game. But in the end, you're going to remember those, you know, that we saw go through some tough times, but whenever it gets really good, you know, if it just started out really good, you know, that would be great. We would love that too. But understanding the growth process is a big part of why we're doing this right now, why we watch these games and why we love seeing young players go out there and play.
Yeah, man. And I just want to throw this out here is we've been spoiled in Oklahoma City by having a point guard like Russ run our offense for the majority of the years that Oklahoma City has been around. But that also comes with the issue that he has, which is his biggest issue in turnovers. You look at Russ's biggest issue, he has this massive glaring thing that he likes to have turnovers. I mean, not every player likes to have turnovers, but it's the high pace that Russ plays. Watching Josh Giddey and Shai play, right? They play with that intensity and high pace, but you know what they don't do is turn over the ball. Josh Giddey is averaging 2 turnovers a game right now. His first year, playing major minutes, and he's averaging 2 turnovers a game. I'm mind-boggled by this stat. Shai is averaging barely any turnovers a game. This is what's so crazy about this. The way that these guys are going, if they continue the way they're taking care of the ball, which I think they can and improve it as the year goes on, they could average less turnovers a game than Russ did in the season together. That's where our majority of the ball is in their hands. That's where the ball is. 38 minutes of the game is in those guys' hands. So 35, 36 minutes of the game, we're seeing these guys run the offense, just like with Russ. So the fact that these guys have an opportunity to be able to be that offense that we needed without making the turnovers is truly spectacular. Let's go through some rebounds because I've been really impressed with Darius Bazley right now. He's leading our team in rebounds with 6.5 a game. Yes, that's a little low for a power forward, especially knowing that most power forwards average like 7-8 a game. But this is the improvement we're seeing with Bazley. This is another big step up. 6.5 rebounds a game for him is great. Yes, we're only 5-6 games in the season, but we're seeing this improvement with Bazley with the intensity on the offensive board and the defensive board. He's almost averaging an offensive board a game this year. That's huge because that shows you where Bazley's mind's at. I like this, man. I like the fact that he's out there balling like he is and hustling like he is, and it makes me excited because this team looks so good when everybody is out there playing well. When we're connecting, that's what's exciting. You know, watching so many different baseball teams and watching so many basketball teams this last year play sports, you see when team chemistries really, truly matter. Watching this Thunder team play and watching how the team chemistry is already working together, that's what's exciting right now. I get really pumped up for a number of different reasons when I see this team play, but the way they work together as a team and the way that they look better when they're working, passing the ball, setting screens, all that other stuff, it's truly spectacular. We see these offense right now in LA where Russ is running and AD and LeBron, they look so good individually, right? But our team as a whole, as a team, looks so good, and it's scary when we're getting everything right.
Yeah, and it's not going to happen overnight, but who cares? I mean, if this was going to happen overnight, then a lot of people would be on this bandwagon, you know, and we've said it for a while, you know, you get a lot of extra bonus points as a fan if you stick through it through the bad times. You know, people who just show up for the good times, I get it. They're usually the guys who can afford courtside seats, and no, they just go in and they take the easy stuff. But hanging through the tough times, that's what we're all about. And, you know, these games, you know, not every game is going to be great, but you're going to find little things like that Lakers win against Russ. Like, that means a lot to us. That's something that, you know, as sentimental fans, we look at, you know, playing against Russ. That's an awesome opportunity. But winning, you know, I don't know. People can say whatever they want about not having LeBron, but he still has Anthony Davis out there, and they're still supposed to be a contender. So, yeah, LeBron's the best player in the game, or one of the top, whatever. I don't care what your philosophy is on that. But the thing is, we wanted to beat Russ because Russ is, you know, one of our all time greats, and he should have his number retired as soon as he's done playing. So, you know, going out there and seeing what's happening. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are questioning what's going to happen with maybe Bazley, Jeremiah Robinson-Earl, these types of guys. Like, they're not sure, you know, they really believe in Giddey, they really believe in SGA, but what's up with the forwards and how are we going to figure that out? But I'm telling you, man, Bazley is an all-star for the future. I saw somebody say that he has a Lamar Odom upside. Well, first of all, Lamar Odom was an all-star, but that's irrelevant because I think that Bazley's ceiling is much higher than Lamar Odom's. But, you know, you're right. 6'10", can really put the ball on the floor and finish at the basket and has the ability to shoot the three. I mean, there's value in that. And you can find yourself a major contributor on a championship-level team if that's what you can do. But Bazley also has the ability to lead the team in rebounds, defend the basket, and run the court. And, you know, that was something we knew Lamar Odom could do. He could initiate the fast break with the dribble. But Bazley is much more fluid in the full court offense than Lamar Odom ever was. But to say somebody has a Lamar Odom upside, that's not like a complete diss. Like, I get it. Lamar Odom was a bit of a joke. I wasn't a big fan of him, but I just think that that's actually kind of like a pretty good thing. But I also think that's a low comparison because Bazley's still so young and he really has an unlimited ability to keep improving. A lot of his game is going to be predicated on making that three-point shot. And when he makes a lot of threes, we're going to look really good. And when he misses a lot, we're going to struggle, and he's going to have trouble getting to the basket if he's not making threes. But he's committed to continuing to shoot. That's the first step to finding a way to excel. That proves that he's working hard in practice, and they're telling him to keep shooting, and that's what we like to see. So I'm a big fan of what we're doing. Yeah, SGA and Giddey, they're getting all the attention right now. But these other guys, you know, I'm committed to them too.
Yeah, man, and I love what you were bringing up about shooting. I was looking at some stats as you're doing that and just admiring some of these guys at what we're doing right now. Shea right now is someplace in the 48, 49th range of made three-pointers per game. He's made 2.3 average a game. I love this right now. It's showing that we have a big leaning on him for taking that shot. He's only shooting 33%, but that's still league average, a little bit above league average, so I'm not too concerned about that. He's going to get that up a lot more as time goes on, and I know for a fact that he's going to be all right. Mike Muscala is second on our team, averaging 1.5 threes a game, or making 1.5 threes a game averaging out there, so that's really big. And then Dort at 1.2. Made three-pointers game. So all this stuff is starting to come into, you know, to view right now. And with that being said, is we're averaging with these three guys, four made three-pointers a game. Or five three-pointers made a game. This is big. This is just the start of these guys working together and getting to know each other. But I have big expectations for Shea and averaging made three or more three-pointers a game. That puts him in elite company, and I feel like that would be really, really good for his game, allowing him to be able to make three three-pointers a game and on average would put him in the top 20 in the league, and that's what we need from him. We need to be able to have a point guard / shooting guard that can take that shot and make it three times a game. And then you have Dort that I feel like he could do that. And then you have Mike Muscala, who doesn't get as much playing time as everybody else out there, but obviously he's got a sick shot. And if he keeps playing the way he is, I don't know why we wouldn't be able to put him in more games. And we saw this last year with him. He helped us win games. And I think he's one of those guys that could help us win games again. But to me, it seems silly to use a guy like Mike if we're getting blown out of games, because he is what we would consider one of those guys that gets injured a lot. So you don't use him on blowouts. You use him when you need to win games, and that's who Mike is. So I'm interested to see how this is all going to work together, but I love what we're doing with our shot, Mark. I love we're taking our shots. I love we're being smart with our shots, and I love that we're pushing the ball up the court. Bazley's taking a lot of shots, and I like it. He's not hitting a lot of shots at this moment, but I like the fact that he's being aggressive and getting that ball up the court quickly. Isaiah Roby's in the game, and that ball is up the court in the blink of an eye. This is sick, man. I love what the progression of this team is happening, and it's just been fun.
You know, you and I both have been coaches, and, you know, when you're a coach, you take the time to assess a team and where the individual players are at, where you think they can go, and as a team, where you think you can, you know, reach and how far you think you can go, depending on what type of schedule you have, depending on the age of your group and, you know, whatever the situation is, that's going to dictate quite a bit. And what I've noticed is that this team has a real commitment to competing. They understand that they're going to be overmatched. And right now we're going through a stretch where a lot of the teams, you know, were overmatched. But if we go out there and we defend at a high level, if we try to play the way that we play, you know, we have a chance to go out there and compete. And if we can compete for four quarters, then we have a chance to win the game. And we're not really putting much more thought into it. We want to win every game that we play, but we understand that this is a process and we have to get there, and it's going to take time. It's going to take patience, and it's going to take a lot of repetition. But one of the things that I love is when we see players like Bazley play against Draymond Green. I think those types of matchups are really critical. Green does a lot for his team that doesn't include scoring, and that's well known about him. But the way he thinks about the game, I see Bazley out there, and he's like a sponge. And that's what I love to see. I love seeing players go out there and learn from other players. There's a lot you can learn, and being defended by a guy can teach you quite a bit about how you can defend not just them, but other players. And I'm just pumped up about it, man. It's a learning process. It's going to be painful. Anybody who's learned how to, you know, do things like walk or ride a bike understands that falling down is just a big part of the process. But the worst thing you can do is have people who are mocking you and ridiculing you when you make mistakes. The thing is, you have to learn through failure. And I've heard people say practice makes perfect. I heard people say perfect practice makes perfect. The truth is, you have to learn how to do it wrong before you understand the value in going through the steps to do it right. So yeah, getting your shot blocked, understanding why we work on pump fakes, those types of experiences can be humiliating. But in the end, if you learn, then all of a sudden you see Bazley, he's just aggressive going at the basket this year. That's stuff he's learned through failure. Now he's attacking the basket with aggression. So now he's starting to attack the three-point line with aggression. It's just a process. And I get it. You know, I'm a pretty big fan of Bazley's, but I think he's a big, big critical part. I mean, Dort, same thing, you know, but I think a lot of people understand that because of the value of his contract and everything. I think there's a little bit more question about Bazley, and I'm just here to say, you know, I've watched the game for a long time. You don't see players with Bazley's skill set and size come around very often, and you sure as hell shouldn't let him go unless you get a haul, and I just can't imagine there's any reason. I mean, to me, he's a top five level pick at his age, his skill set, and the fact that he still could be in college right now. If you compared him to the players coming in, I mean, he's proven so much. We just have to be patient with him.
Man, I always get stoked when we bring up Bazley, because there's a lot of people that are very, very difficult on Bazley. I think back at the first time that I really recognized that he had that potential to be a great player. And it has to be AD that I'm thinking of this moment. AD is playing defense on Bazley, and Bazley gets around AD. Now, looking back and replaying the play, right, I realized that AD allowed Bazley to get around him, okay? He wanted to get a block shot, and he knew that he was going to be able to do it because he had been baiting Bazley for quite a while there. So AD lets him go around him, and this is, I think, last year, the year before. AD lets him go around him and gets his sick-ass block on Bazley, right? Bazley does the same fucking thing to AD the very next time down the floor, or maybe it was two times down the floor. But the point is that he picked up the play on defense that AD, who is a superstar, did on him, and he turned it around and did it on AD a couple times later. That is not a normal player. That is not like, oh, okay. That's not like a little player being out there playing ball and being like, okay, I just learned a new move. No, he's playing against one of the greatest players in that position in the last 20 years that just did it a very complicated move on him on defense. Something that is not easy to understand, how you just got your ass whooped, right? Bazley took that and instantly absorbed that. He picked it up, turned it on AD, and did the same thing. This is why we are so high on Bazley. He understands the game in a way that is incredibly complicated. And the fact is that anybody that wants to throw the towel on Bazley early on right now has no idea what they're doing. Not everybody is a superstar in the NBA in the first 3 to 4 years. It just doesn't happen for everyone. I mean, I can look down the list and say, look at this person, look at this person. There's so many guys that we've seen in the history of the game that they were okay players in their first 3 to 5 years. And then all of a sudden, everything just goes woof, right? Think of Harden, right? Everything was slow with Harden. And it was always like, he could be a good player, but he's not going to learn how to play defense. So you don't give a max deal out to a guy who can't play defense. Bam, he figured it out. This is what happens with Basley. And we're all going to see this. It's all going to be like, oh, slow. He's not getting it. And all of a sudden, one summer, he's going to come back from being gone. And it's going to be like, holy shit, how did he turn into a player like this? We are all on the ride watching Basley together. We can enjoy it. Don't be hard on this guy. Be an uplifter. Praise him for all the things that we see that is great, because he is going to be on our team for a very long time. He's one of the foundation blocks to this team. I understand there's a lot of people in Oklahoma City in the podcast will be like, that's bullshit. Baisley's not a foundation piece. No, Basley is. And that's why Mark and I are so high on him, and that's why we're going to continue talking his praises, because Basley is one of those guys that you start a team around Basley. And Basley will be one of those guys that leads the team, and he's going to be a major leader on this team in the future. So we're excited about that. We're excited about the whole team. But tomorrow night, we play against the Clippers at 10:30 tomorrow night. We're so fucking stoked about this. It's game time. The Clippers, Shea's home. We got to see PG 13 play with us. And there's a couple other players that play for the Clippers that play for us as well. So it is going to be fun and exciting to see those guys play. So I'm stoked. You're stoked. I think it's going to be a good time. And we're just excited that you'll be able to watch the games with us. So we're going to be tweeting the watch party out tomorrow. So if you guys want to join us for that, awesome. If not, then we don't give a shit. But we're going to watch it, and then we'll be able to break down the game as you guys are listening to it, as we're getting ready for our podcast. You'll be able to hear up the setup for the podcast and know how we do it for the future. So that's up to you. We just want to let you guys know, thank you. And as always, this episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.